Just a few announcements to make before our brother speaks, before another song, and then our brother speaks. Our speaker for the evening, as you know, is our brother Mackey from Flint, Michigan. He'll be with us all this week and next week also, bringing a series of messages. He'll tell you more about his subjects a little later on. At each day, Monday through Friday, at 10 in the morning and 7:30 in the evening. And Saturday night is a special night with a moody science film, The Windows of the Soul. And as our brother Harvey mentioned this morning, we hope that we'll have a number of teenagers, a number of young people out, as we have had on other nights when we've shown the Moody Science Field. They're very educational, very instructive. Marvelous photography, I think. And I think it's great. They're wonderful pictures. And it's very instructive. The Windows of the Soul, a Moody Science Film, Saturday night. And that's at 7:30. The ladies' prayer group meet at 9:30 on Tuesday morning, and the men's prayer group 9:15 on Thursday for the men's group. On Tuesday there's the monthly luncheon, birthday and anniversary luncheon over in the dining room, in which we recognize the birthdays and anniversaries of all who have given us their dates. There may be some who haven't told us that they were born during the month of January. But if they are, why, they'll get special recognition. One lady told us that today was her birthday. And so we sang a birthday song for her today at lunch today. Then I am told that there will be refreshments in the lounge tonight after the service here. Go over to the lounge, as we have on several other occasions, and there will be something ready for you a little bit later. And don't forget the two boxes at the rear of the hall for the expenses of the conference. Ministry for our brethren that minister God's word to us, and also for the other incidental expenses that go with it. Now, Brother Schneeberg has another song for us. So we stand and sing number 2, I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever. Number 2. Green sheet.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. John's Gospel, chapter 20. John's Gospel, chapter 20. Reading from verse 19. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, for the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. We dwell quite a bit in our ministry, and I believe in our meditation too, on the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And rightly so. We believe the death of our Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation of our redemption, our salvation. But I wonder, beloved, if you've ever given thought to the fact that the resurrection has a great part to play in our redemption. Have you ever considered the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ not rising from the dead? Then what about his sacrifice? Let us never forget that the Apostle Paul gives us in essence the gospel as recorded in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If we did not have the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, we have no gospel. And what God has joined, let no man put asunder. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ were the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. But I dare say we were in danger in speaking so much about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say again, we can't do that. But not so much concerning the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Now, I don't know when you heard a series before on the resurrection of Christ. We've had many series on his death and the different aspects of his death, but very, very few concerning his resurrection. It shouldn't be, beloved. It shouldn't be. I'm not going to deal with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ as an individual subject tonight. But we're going to look at the Lord Jesus as he did rise, and in his manifestation of himself to his own. There are three characters in which the Lord Jesus Christ is known, or one character, in three ways. First of all, he was the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And then we read concerning the chief shepherd, when he shall appear, Peter speaks about it, when he shall appear, that's when he comes again, the chief shepherd shall come for his sheep. But beloved, in the meantime, he is the great shepherd who guards and gathers his sheep together. And this was the work of the Lord Jesus here, after his death, after his burial, and his rising from the dead. For 40 days, he gathered his own together, those scattered sheep, before he left them and ascended to the right hand of the Father. We're going to look at this for a little while tonight. It's full of meaning, full of meat. I sometimes like to apply this to our meeting together on the Lord's Day morning to remember the Lord Jesus. Now, if anybody asks me, just say, how did the disciple of old and the apostles, how did they meet in those occasions? What was the outline of their meeting, their service? How did they perform it? Well, I can't tell you from Scripture, because I don't think there's any picture given us. But I'll say this much, this is about the nearest thing that I can find to it. This incident here in the upper room, when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his own. I don't know whether you've recognized it already, but in my messages, or the delivering of my messages, and in their preparation, first of all, I like to divide them up into sections, and I use very, very much alliteration. Sometimes I've got to make it, and I try to be conservative. But beloved, in this portion of God's Word, it's already made. I don't have to make it at all. And if you care to watch as we're speaking, you'll see it for yourself. The first thing that we notice here, we find that the Lord Jesus came into the midst of his disciples in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut. Now here were shut doors. For the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. The disciples on this occasion were in fear. Now, I'm so grateful, and I'm sure you are too, that every time that you and I meet, even as we're met tonight and as we meet every Lord's Day morning, or at prayer meeting or ministry during the week, we don't yet meet in fear. Many of those who have gone before have. I was interested some time ago when I was in Sacramento this last winter, or last summer rather. We were over there and I was in a home and I saw an old rusty book. It was brown with age. And I was curious and so I picked it down. Began to read it and I couldn't let it down. I had to. When I come back into the house again,
I picked it up again, and I think I completed that book, very thick volume, before I left. Very, very interesting. It was the history of the Scottish Covenanters. And if you've never had a chance, you don't have to be Scotch to enjoy it. There were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, humble believers, but there was a man who called Claverhouse at that time, and he was sent by the king to arrest all those who did not conform to the church, which was Romish at that time. And many of these dear souls lost their lives. They were massacred, even young ones, because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they met in caves, in rocks, in secret places. They buried in the ground to hide from this Claverhouse, this murderer, because of their faith in Christ. I see we don't meet that way today. But may I pass on a thought? And I don't want to be pessimistic, but I think it's worth considering. I do believe, beloved, if the Lord Jesus Christ don't come soon, we may have cause to. We may have cause to. No, I know perfectly well, according to the Word of God, that the church will not go through the tribulation, the great tribulation that is called in Scripture. No. But if the Lord Jesus Christ don't come soon, I'm a little afraid that you and I are going to taste a little bit of persecution. It's happening at other places in the world today. And it could spread quite readily to America. Privileges will be taken away from us. And we'll be afraid to meet, perhaps, for a time. But here in this case, the disciples met for fear of the Jews. You see, their hero was gone. Oh, they were bold while he was there. While he was with them, they didn't fear anyone. Why even Peter? When they came out of Gethsemane, his garden, he drew his sword. Think of it. And cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. He wasn't afraid. But look at them now. Their hero's taken away. Their Lord is not with them. And they have no strength. They can't stand. Had he forgotten? No, he hadn't forgotten. He knew where they were. And we find that he draws near and he comes into that very room. And it's remarkable, he comes in through the walls. The doors were barred, the windows were barred, but he came in through the walls without any disturbance in a glorified body. And he came into the midst of the disciples and they were afraid, and rightly so. Put yourself in their place. Perhaps it would have had the same effect on you. And they were afraid. But the very first word that we find the Lord Jesus saying to his disciples on that occasion was the very thing they needed. Peace be unto you. You know, beloved, this comes to my mind time and time again when we gather together to remember the Lord. We've had a busy day during the week. Men at their work, women with their chores, and the preacher themselves, very busy time. And then when we gather together for an hour, as it were, just to sit down and quiet, away from everything, carrying out, as it almost was, the words of the Lord Jesus speaking to his own in Mark 6:31, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. And we sit down and that, as far as I'm concerned, I close my eyes and realize the presence of the Lord Jesus. It just seems as if he's saying again, peace be unto you. Beloved, it couldn't be otherwise. Because on the table before us, on such an occasion, there's a loaf. And not only that, there's a container with wine. And these were the memorials that the Lord Jesus Christ left.
reminding us that he had obtained peace for us by his death on the cross. And so here he speaks peace. Jesus came in through the shut doors. I want you to note something special here too. It says that Jesus came in and Jesus stood. Now, at first thought, or at first glance, that's insignificant. But is it? Jesus stood. What was the last picture the disciples had of their Lord? He wasn't standing. The last picture they had was that he was there, crucified on a Roman gibbet. Or perhaps some of them waited around, and it was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus saw that body being taken down with clean hands.
But another dirty or filthy or wicked hand never touched him. These clean hands took him down and wrapped him in clean linen and laid him in a clean place. For in the garden where he was crucified, there was a sepulcher, and wherein man had never lain. And there we wrapped him and they put him in, and that was the last picture they had of their master. You remember the downcast disciples in Luke 24? One of the times that this event when the Lord Jesus was gathering his own, here were these two on the way to Emmaus. And a stranger draws near. Oh, they're downcast, they're disheartened, they're disillusioned, they're discouraged, and they can't even look up. Their eyes are glued, I think, on the ground as they walk. And a stranger draws near, and they don't understand, they don't observe him. And then he speaks. What communications are these you have, the one with the other, as you walk and are sad? And I don't think within their eyes they've replied, what? Are you only a stranger in this district? You don't know what's happened in this in these days? What things, says the Lord Jesus, drawing them out. Oh, the wisdom of the person of the Lord Jesus. Drawing them out. What things? And then they unburden themselves. But this was the point of their argument. But he says, we trusted that it would have been he who should have delivered Israel. They were disillusioned. They were waiting for a king. And this was him, the Messiah. They had said so. He had proved it by his miracles, by his words, by his works. But here now they've been taken away in the midst of their joy, their expectations. And we trusted. It would have been he who should have redeemed Israel. Beloved, there are many tell us that as far as the Jews are concerned, the Lord is done with them. They're all washed up as a nation. Now I know, I've come across this teaching, different places. But you know, there's one thing they can't answer me when I ask them, and it's this. If that is the case, the Lord Jesus won't have any earthly kingdom. It was promised in the Old Testament, time and time and time again, almost all the prophets prophesied that he would have an earthly kingdom. He would sit upon his own throne. Has he done it? Has he had an earthly kingdom? No, they gave him a cross. Well, of course, that means he must rise again. And he will set up his kingdom, and he will, beloved. Jesus shall reign wherever the sun doth its successive journeys run. His kingdom spread from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. He shall reign. He shall have his own kingdom. He shall sit upon his own throne. But in the meantime, he's seated on the Father's throne, waiting until that time the Father will tell him to rise and come for his own. And then after that, after the tribulation, he will set up his kingdom on earth.
Was it not the prayer that the Lord Jesus gave to the disciples, not to the church? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, as it is in heaven. Yes. And so we find that the Lord Jesus will yet have his kingdom. But here it says he came and he stood. He stood in their presence. They must have been amazed. I was so happy for that first hymn that we sung this morning concerning the Lord Jesus, worthy is the Lamb. It was lovely. My mind went to Revelation chapter 5, and here we find John, the seer, and he's weeping because there was no one found worthy to take the book out of the one who sat upon the throne and to open the seals thereof. And the angel says to John, John, weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to take the book and to open the seals thereof. And I look, now watch the words, please. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to take the book and open the seals thereof. And John says, and when I looked, what was he looking for? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. What did he see? A lamb. Standing as it had been freshly slain. Here was the Lord Jesus Christ in that posture right here. They were amazed at him. He had the marks of Calvary upon him. This was the one really and truly. Old Thomas wasn't there that morning, but he had one way of proving it. You're not going to fool me, he might have said to the disciples, because except I see the print of the nails in his hands and in his feet, and unless I can push my fist into that gash, that awful gash in his side, I will not believe. And then we find that later he did meet with the disciples when the Lord again appeared. And he didn't carry out his desire. He didn't have to. My Lord and my God, he was recognized. But he was a lamb standing as it had been slain. Now, isn't that a paradox? A slain lamb standing? But that's exactly what we have here, a picture of it right here. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came and he stood. He stood in their midst. Not only that, but we find that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to them. I wonder, beloved, when you and I gather together to remember him, or when we gather together in Bible study or ministry, I wonder if we ever hear him speak. I trust you're not among those that have a special idea concerning the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some years ago in Detroit, I was ministering, and I happened to say, like, that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us just as much in the prayer meeting as when we remember him in the breaking of bread in the Lord's Day morning. After I was through, I just didn't get off the platform, but a young man came hurrying down from the back, and I could see he was angry. So he came right up to me and says, Mr. Mackey, did I hear right? Well, I said, it all depends what you heard. Now, what did you hear? He says, were you trying to bring the morning meeting, the Sunday morning meeting, down to the level of the prayer meeting and Bible reading? Well, I says, my young fellow, says, would you tell me, who made the levels? Who made the levels? Isn't it true that he's with us where two or three are gathered together during the week? Isn't it true that he's there with us in the midst? According to the word of God, he is. And if he's not, your gathering is vain. You may as well stay home. But beloved, he is there. Now this has been taught for a long time, that in a very, very special way, the presence of the Lord is there in the Lord's Day morning. Thank God we can sense his presence, but
if we were in tune with the Spirit of God in the weekday as we are in the Lord's Day morning, we would realize His presence during the week too. He's there. And what has been the result of this teaching? I'll tell you why. We have no meetings during the week. We become Sunday morning only. Because that's the assembly, that's the meeting, that's where the Lord is present. And it sets your hearts, beloved. I know going around, I'm not telling any secrets, this is fact. Going around these days, it's hard to get meetings during the week. Very, very difficult. So take a picture for a Sunday, and they may
be very, very gracious and give you 2 nights or 3 nights during the week. But amongst gospel services now, every night for a month, 6 weeks as I had in Calgary in 1960, no. So why?
Well, you know,
the cushions won't come out.
Too bad.
They won't come out. But there they are in all their glory on a Sunday morning. And why?
Because the Lord is with us. He's made an appointment, so He'll be here to meet us.
Oh, beloved, let us set your heart. He's with us during the week, too. Let us sense His presence. He's there. Come and meet with Him. He wants you there just as loyally as He wants you in the Lord's Day morning.
But here, then, we have the posture of our Lord Jesus. And then He speaks to them. Again, it says, "Peace be unto you."
But then the next thing we notice is that He showed them His hands and His feet and His side. I wonder what you and I, what we really see in the Lord's Day morning when we get together. I wonder really what we see. Do we really see Him? You know, I think this is sometimes gauged by our conversation with one another after we rise from that service. What's our conversation right away? It may have been a movie, it was on television the night before, a late show. Maybe not. It may have been a game of golf that we had on Saturday. It may have been some outstanding event on Saturday or Friday night or Saturday night. The very first thing to talk about, or some pictures of us have seen this in our own assembly, into the little pocketbook and out comes pictures that were taken on some occasion. And we look at the pictures. We're cut off immediately. As soon as an amen is said, and the doors are opened and arise, we lose the sense of the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was in San Diego some years ago. I was speaking along these lines in a home, and a dear sister looked at me and she says, "Mr. Mackey," she didn't mean to laugh at this anyway, but I'll tell you. She says, "One Sunday morning," it is an early morning meeting, as we call it. She says there was some brother engaged in prayer, and it could have been he was long, I don't know. But she says, "I opened my eyes." I should not have done it. "But I opened my eyes and I counted no less than 7 heads that were nodding, almost ready to drop, fast asleep." Fast asleep. Is that true, beloved? I believe it is in many cases. You know, I believe there are certain doors, it says here the doors were shut, and I believe there are certain doors that you and I should close on these occasions when we meet together and recognize the presence of the Lord. There should be the eyes. That is, we don't have to close them literally, but let us get them off one another. Off one another. And let us focus our minds upon the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and the subject under discussion. But it may be in the Lord's Day morning as we gather together to remember Him in His death and view of His coming again. Let us fix our eyes on Him. And again, as the
door of the mind, how active that mind is. I think it was the late Alfred P. Gibbs in one occasion at assembly. He was speaking and he said, you know, there have been some wonderful transactions, business transactions worked out at the Lord's Supper. And he said, with the dear sisters, there have been lovely dinners cooked, he says, at the Lord's Supper. Beloved, it's true. The mind is like a butterfly. If you and I don't bring it into subjection, it's like a butterfly and it goes from one flower to another. We can't seemingly concentrate for the little while that we are gathered together on the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe one of the reasons is that we're a little faulty in believing whether he's there or not. But if he came in person, how would we act? If you really walked in person, literally, how would we act? Oh, beloved, we'd forget everything. And everybody, and would have an eye for him, and him only. Well, if there's act on it, he's here, he's in the midst. And so he said unto them, or he showed them his hands and his feet, to the work, the identification of his sacrifice, the finished work. And then we find too that the disciples, it says, and the disciples saw the Lord. That's it. Oh, there's the cut to the whole thing. The disciples saw the Lord. I was thinking this morning, too, in regards to our gathering together to remember the Lord, that those verses that we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 should, I think, be read a little more often at that feast. There is a serious part of the Word of God, a solemn part of the Word of God there. There was disorder in the Corinthian church at that time. And I'll put it my own way, they were coming in any old fashion, they were coming at any old time, and they were doing any old thing. And the apostle put it this way, they did not discern the Lord's body. It was just as if he wasn't there at all. And as a result, the apostle says, because of this, many are sickly among you, and many are put to sleep. Or in other words, taken home. It's a solemn, solemn passage. And I think we could read it more often than we do as we gather together to remember the Lord. So here we have then that Jesus showed himself, and then the disciples saw, they saw the Lord. Wasn't this remarkable how they met Thomas during the week, and this is what they said to them? They didn't say anything about the lovely singing it was that morning. Whether they sang or not, I don't know. But there was nothing about that at all. There was nothing about the lovely word that the brother gave before the breaking of bread or afterwards. Nothing about that at all. There was only one thing that filled their hearts and their minds, and it was this. We saw the Lord. And that was enough. But Thomas, we saw the Lord. Yes, beloved, I believe it's possible to come together and go through all the motions and rise and not see him. Not see him at all. Some years ago, Mrs. Mackey attended a funeral in Flint. When I come home from my work, she was telling me about it. It was some Scotch fellow that had died, and she knew them. And she went to the funeral service in the funeral home. But she was upset. She was crying. She was sorry she had gone. She never seen or heard such disregard for any person that had died as was shown that day. The women who come in were sitting behind her and in front of her, and their converse was concerning the people around and what they were wearing, and about the one who was in the casket, never a word, nor the one who was mourning, never a word. What a touch entirely. It was as if they were in some amusement park, or in a theater,
It had no effect on them whatsoever. The solemnity of the occasion never touched them.
Is that true, a child of God?
Oh, beloved, I believe it's so responsible to be so callous.
Simply because a continual repetition of the service to get indifferent. May God help us to set your hearts concerning this.
Did we see him this morning?
When we gathered together, oh, I enjoyed the service. I really did. I had every occasion to see him. The hymns were directed toward him. The reading of the scriptures were directed toward him. You couldn't help but see him. The other side of your mind was away somewhere else. Out of touch with him entirely. And then finally, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says here that he sends. He breathed on them, and then we find that he sent them. He sent them forth to be witnesses for him. Now this is true concerning us too. When we gather together, we come to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and his death in view of his coming again. But I wonder if you've ever realized the fact that after we have remembered him, that it seems as if the Holy Spirit would say to us, now, you're rising after remembering your Lord. You're an ambassador. You're going out. You're being sent out to represent him. You're a representative of the one that you've come here to remember this morning. I wonder if that ever engages our mind at all. Beloved, it's true. We are ambassadors for Christ. And no matter where we go during the week after we've remembered him, we should be making known to all those that we come in contact with that we have been with him. When they said concerning the disciples, and they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Let me tell you two illustrations before I quit. One was told me by an Irish brother down in Pittsburgh some years ago. I want to sum here. He says that, talking about the Lord's meeting with the Lord's people and observing the Lord's Supper, he says, in those early days of the Over in Ireland, he says, where they lived, they didn't have a chapel, but he says they held their meetings in an old barn in a farm nearby. And he says, in the Lord's Day morning, he says, the cattle had to be put out for the saints to get in. And he said, very often, he said, at the end of the meeting, there was a usual phrase in prayer. Oh, Lord, may we carry the fragrance of this meeting with us wherever we go. Now, here's another one. The late H.P. Barker of England, that was in our assembly some years ago, he was telling us of an incident that happened in his life. He was down in the lower parts of London on this occasion, doing some business, and he hadn't time to return to have his lunch in the city. And so he had to look around and find someplace nearby. Well, the only thing he could find was, well, I don't know what you would call it. It was a little delicatessen. The Scotchman's delight, and the Englishman's too, fish and chips. And so he went in there just about noon, and the gentleman who was the proprietor, he was also the cook, and he was just getting things ready. And the place, of course, the boiling fat and the smoke that arose from it, they didn't have the modern appliances of those days, and the place was just reeking. And he said he couldn't do anything else. He'd been in, so he went into a little booth there, and he sat down, and he made his order. And he was eating when the door opened and two young girls came in. And then he began to sniff. That burning, greasy smell had gone. The place was filled with a delightful perfume. And he looked around and wondered whatever had happened. So they did have modern appliances, evidently. So when he was through, he went over to the proprietor, paid his bill,
Yes, sir, there's something I want to ask you. It was that. It is what changed the atmosphere of this room. So they said the man smiled. They said, "Is this a stranger in these parts?" He said, "Yes, I am."
Oh.
He said, "Did you take note when it happened?" "No, the only thing I was to say was when the door opened and these two young girls came in." He says, "That's when it took place." He says, "You know, these young girls work down the way here in a perfume factory. And he says, their clothes are saturated with it and they don't know it. And wherever they go, they carry this odor with them, this perfume." Mr. Barker just shook his head and smiled. "That's it. It all depends on what company you are in. You will carry that fragrance with you. And if you and I meet together constantly in fellowship with the people of God, and in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Him in our presence, in our company, beloved, we are going to carry the fragrance of Christ with us wherever we go. But you don't have to argue or to your brethren or to any of the other sisters in the meeting and say, 'Well, you know, I'm not walking close to the Lord anymore.' You don't have to do that. Just keep quiet. Don't magnify it. Your life in a very short time will manifest it. You don't have to write a placard as I'm doing today. Put it on your back, on your front, and say, 'I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not fellowshipping with the people of God.' You don't have to. It'll be in evidence in a very short time, out of touch with the Master. And the fragrance will not be there. Oh, beloved, may we realize when we gather together to remember Him, He is there. And not only that, a good thing to remember too, He is there waiting for us. Waiting for us. And when the hour was come, He sat down with the 12. This should help us in regards to our coming at any old time. Some years ago in New Jersey, I was there for the first time. And before I went, a brother told me, and said, "You're going to New Jersey, Bill, yeah? You're going to a certain assembly, uh-huh. Never been there before, no." Well, he said, "You'll find a very unusual thing there." "Oh, what's that?" He says, "Everybody, all the saints in the assembly, will be in this place at least 15 minutes before the service starts." He says, "There won't be another soul come in after that time." And he says, "They won't be talking to one another either." He says, "They'll be reading their Bible or thumbing through the hymn book." That's unusual. I went, and it's exactly as he said. So, of course, when I went home where I was staying, I asked the brother, he says, "Hey, what was the idea of this?" So he explained it to him. Oh, I said, "Oh, the story to that." He said, "For quite a number of years," he says, "the saints were coming in any old time at all, and the door was just opening and closing and opening and closing after the service had started. They come to them 20 minutes late." Now, he said, "We know sometimes it's not easy to get there on time. But see, when it's a habitual thing." Well, this is one Sunday morning, a dear old brother, after we were all in and the meeting was started, without giving any notice to anyone, he rose on his own and he went to the door and he locked it from the inside. Yes, you got the idea right away. And there were some came at a regular time, hammering on the door to get in, but they didn't get in. It caused an awful confusion. Well, beloved, with the assembly, you know what happened? They had a business meeting, and a business meeting they had. And the whole thing got thrashed out, and that was the result. And as far as I know, that assembly still adheres to that. Isn't he worthy of it? If you knew that your governor or your president, and don't make light of the president, please, but if it was a president or any high official had made a date with you that he was going to come to your place at a certain time, would you be there to meet him? You've been making preparation for a long time before it. And you will see that everything was ship-shape before he came. Long before he came. Could we do that in regard to our blessed Lord? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yet everything's left to the last minute as far as meeting him is concerned. We keep him waiting, as it were. He's waiting for us. Oh, may we sense his presence more and more as we gather together to remember him in view of his coming again. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for our coming together this evening. We thank thee for these lovely hymns that were sung tonight. We thank thee, Father, for how it rejoices our hearts when we realize again that we have a Savior who is worthy of our trust, one who has never disappointed us. And we thank thee, Father, too, for thy precious word that thou hast brought to our attention this evening, for the help given in discharging the responsibility of ministering the same. And we ask thee now, Father, to bless it to each one of our souls. Father, thou knowest who needs it. We pray that we might make a personal application, forgetting all others, and applying thy word to our own individual lives and hearts. Now, Father, for thy blessing, receive our thanks, we pray, in the pure, precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.